Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking to a Chelsea gold medal winning nursery, director of Howard Nurseries in Norfolk. It's Christine Howard. My thanks to Westland Horticulture, sponsors of this podcast, and of course, my long-suffering producer, Charlie Jones. Goodness, my head's absolutely spinning. I went to the Four Oaks exhibition, the trade show for nursery people and growers, up near Jodrell Bank, met so many people. They had, I think, 60 new plant launches there, and all kinds of gossip picked up in the pathways between the exhibits. And then I went on the next Friday, just 2 days later, to the graduation ceremony for Riddle students. Great to see all those young people going up onto the stage and picking up their awards. You know, our industry should be in pretty healthy hands with all those bright-eyed and bushy-tailed young people. And then, of course, I nipped into London on Saturday. My granddaughter's just moved into a flat, starting her first job. And the flat had a garden. You know, well, we can't have gardens looking derelict, can we? So we took a few plants and spud up a bit of ground and sort of give her a start. I'm not sure whether she'll keep going. I think granddad will have to go up again and do a bit more of that. And then on Monday, in Birmingham, it was the Glee exhibition. Whereas Four Oaks is very much for those who are growing things, Glee is an exhibition for the garden centre people who are selling stuff. Garden furniture, all the landscape art materials, that kind of thing. But I'm interested, of course, in all the new products. The fertilisers, the composts, what people are doing with recycling pots and, well, just the general trends. You know, they tell me in 10 years' time, we won't have shelves stacked with chemicals. Quite the reverse. When you go in, the people who were on the till will be ambassadors or shopping helpers who will just chat to the people who visit, give them advice and help them to make choice. And once you've made your choice, you just order it on your mobile phone, go and have a cup of coffee in the restaurant, and as you go out, it'll all be there parceled ready for you to put it in the boot. And at the Four Oaks show, there were quite a number of new plants being introduced, and I was interested in a new hybrid between petunia and calabricoa called Petchoa. Actually, the one that I've been growing this summer at home has come from Sakata in Japan, and it's called Beauty Cow. In five really quite eye-catching and unusual colours. Doesn't need to be dead-headed. You just give the plants a shake, and the dying flowers sort of fall off, and it flowers and flowers. It's been pretty good too, standing up to rough weather. So I think the Petchoas are worth watching for next year. They should have the multi-flowering habit of the calabricoa and the flower size of petunias. I'm fiddling about too with sunflowers. A long time ago, I saw in Sweden where one of the research stations had cut the top off a sunflower and grafted a multi-headed sunflower on top of it. And so I've been having a fiddle with that. And really, it's working quite well. You need to have the sunflower stem of a similar thickness to the graft you're going to put on the top. And then you can have either a saddle graft, which has two slanting cuts on the stock that go up in a triangle, and then a V cut into the scion, and you fit those two together and just strap them together with a piece of a strip of polythene, and in 10 days or so, remarkably, they just graft together. The other alternative is to do the reverse. You just cut a slit down into the stock and then cut two pieces off each side of the scion and slip that in and tie that. And once again, within a matter of days, it's sealed and you can have a completely different kind of sunflower on a very strong growing stem. I was interested too to hear that His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales has agreed to be patron of the Rhododendron, Camellia and Magnolia group. I hope to have the chairman on the group to speak to us in the near future, just to tell us what they do. There's a tremendous collection of magnolias going into Canterbury Cathedral, I believe. Now, when it comes to gardening advice, recycling and sustainability is very much on the cards these days. And so I took a stroll round our local allotment just to see how active the recycling is. I'll tell you, there is some ingenuity now on allotments. I saw a raised bed made of a big tractor tyre growing rhubarb. Somebody had very cleverly cut 6-inch lengths of old hose and used that, bent at a 90-degree angle, to slip over the end of canes to make a series of frames. Worked very well. There are, of course, plenty of pallet recycled compost bins. There's windows from the double glazing people as cold frames. There's 1 litre drinks bottles with the bottom cut off and then inverted and plunged beside tomatoes and peppers so that when you water them, the water doesn't just run off but goes right down to the root. I'll tell you, the ingenuity of gardeners is unending.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My guest this week is a very lovely young lady, Christine Howard, a director of Howard's Nursery, a wholesale company producing hardy perennials and grasses. Christine, can you set the scene for us a little bit and explain just what you've got, how big an area you have as a nursery and what you're growing?
Well, we're actually in Suffolk, but right on the Suffolk-Norfolk border. Yeah, so we've got a good location. We grow herbaceous perennials. We have the field side of production and the container side of production. We've got about, I think it's about 25 acres down to the field production. And we have the container area, and then the rest of the land is on a crop rotation of arable crops. And we've been going, it's 49 years this year. We're wholesale, and we supply all over the country. It's amazing where the plants go each week.
Yeah. Now, can we just go back a little bit? Because your dad started the business, didn't he, with Mr. Cooey?
That's right, yeah.
They were both just nursery workers at Bloom's, I believe.
That's right, yes. I believe they both met and they both had a passion to want to start their own business. David's parents had an allotment, literally a couple of fields away from where we are now. So they had the land, and David and Nick started up propagating plants there. Then I believe the property or the land we're on now came available as a small holding, and they managed to purchase it. And we've been really fortunate over the last 49 years that with all the land that's come up surrounding the nursery, we've been able to buy. So we're very in a lucky position that all the land joins. So moving around the nursery is really easy.
And it's pretty free draining, isn't it? I mean, one of the requirements with field grown perennial flowers, you've got to sort of be on the ground right through the autumn, winter and early spring.
Yes, we're really lucky with the land we've got for the field production. It's really good soil. Some of it's not as light as perhaps we'd like for digging for the winter time, but after all these years, we know which fields where to put which plants. And one of the fields, for example, which wasn't really good, which was really clay, we've actually put two reservoirs there, and 7 million gallons of water we collect each year now. The reservoirs are completely clay lined from the site. So it's just getting to know your soil and working with it.
Yeah, amazing. You must be very proud of what your dad did, and he must be pretty proud of you, actually. You know, second generation daughter taking over the reins.
I think it's teamwork. It's having the right team around you as well. And also, he's obviously got the knowledge and experience, which I've been able to learn from. But say having the right staff around you and having the right team is a massive help going forward.
And most of your staff are local, I believe, which, I mean, in this day and age is unusual because a lot of nurseries have agency immigrant staff,
yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah, we are really fortunate with our staff. We've got a fabulous staff. Quite a few of them have been with us 25, 30 years. And that's part of the skill and knowledge they have has helped make the business as strong as it is. But it's always really crucial to have that next generation coming through, thinking ahead with the next succession of staff coming through. We've just had one lad complete his apprenticeship with us. We're in the middle of interviewing for another apprenticeship. And we're also really keen to support the high schools. I think this summer we've had at least 7 or 8 youngsters from the local high schools just getting work experience during the summer, you know, like learning about coming to work, working in a team, that sort of thing. So it's really nice to have that next generation coming through.
Well, it's very good to hear that. Actually, next week I'm at the graduation ceremony for Riddle College, and it'll be good to see young people there. Passing through, yeah.
I'm actually an ex-Whittle student myself, so that's quite good.
Oh, right. I should have remembered that, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Should have been in the introduction, Christine. Now, can you give us some idea of numbers? I mean, because when we talk about 27 acres or something like that, doesn't give any idea to numbers. I mean, when I was there 2 weeks ago, there was a bed of Rudbeckia in full flower, absolutely stunning. I mean, there must have been thousands of plants there.
Yes, it's quite scary when you think about how many plants we produce. We must have, just in the bare root alone, about, 300,000-400,000 bare root plants in the field at the moment, and that's like a guide figure.
Yeah.
I think it's about over 150,000 varieties we actually grow, which it's a lot because all those different plants, they need to be propagated either by root cuttings, top cuttings, seed. It's just knowing your plants, knowing your product.
Yes, could you just sort of take us step by step through a crop like the Rudbeckia or phlox or something like that?
Phlox are one of the interesting crops, along with like crambies or anchusas. They're actually a root crop. So we would lift them up just sort of like about October, November time, and we would take the strong roots off. We would line them into black boxes to store them. So then over the winter time, we're going through taking more cuttings off those roots. So we're probably taking about an inch off each root. Then we would be either putting them straight into a plug tray, or, for example, with the phlox, which are an amazing root. They're like lead sort of pencil thickness. So take about an inch off that root, bundle them up, put them into a sand box, cover them with sand, put them into the glass house, leave them there for a little while just till they start shooting, probably to about March time, and then we'll start transferring them into plug trays. And then you've got your plant coming through in the plug tray. We'll then transfer that once finished in the glass house to shooting. They'll go outside to harden off a bit more. And then when the time's right, May time, we'll put them into the fields with a field planting machine. But it's a fantastic process. I love it when you go in the glass house and you can see those roots being propagated. And then you know, like with a planting in May, and by the October time, you're going to have a fantastic plant that's able to be sold.
So those are saleable about 12 months.
Yeah.
Then you lift in October, select out some of those strong roots.
Yeah, yeah. It's an amazing process.
And when I was there, the scent from them, I mean, it just means summer to me.
Yeah.
When I was on the show circuit, when you went out into the sort of mid-late summer shows into big marquees, the smell of phlox, I think it was Blackmore and Langdon, used to have really big stands of them.
Yeah, no, they're looking really good this year. The foliage is looking really good. All the field-grown plants are looking fabulous. It's a fresh field for us. We've rented this field this year to give some of our land a rest, but the plants are looking absolutely amazing. They're just like smiling at you. They look so lovely.
I love that term. And then when I was with you walking round, we looked at that really big bed of geranium rosan.
Yes. It's amazing where they all go.
Now, do I remember correctly, did you have 20,000 of that?
It could possibly be, yes. It's they're just such a good seller.
Yeah. And why is it so popular?
I suppose it's a good garden plant. The foliage is good, the colour's good, it looks good in a pot too. You know when you plant it out, it's gonna do well, which is what you're looking for.
Yeah, and sort of flowers pretty well non-stop, doesn't it? Yeah. Now, when we were in the container area, leaving the field-grown plants to one side for a minute, you have three different pot sizes, don't you?
Yes, we have the square 9-centimetre pot, which is ideal for, say, a garden designer to be planting out. We also find they come into their own in August for garden centres because they're like a small plant that you could be taking away as a memento of your visit somewhere. We've also got the 2-litre pots and we have 5-litre pots as well.
And then quite a big lot of grasses.
Yes, grasses are really good for us. I believe my father went over to Germany in the 90s and got a lot of stock from which were true to type. So we've always kept those stock. We have them in the field, and it's an amazing job that we do in February. The field stock are lifted, and you have to be really strong. You're like getting two forks to like pull the plants apart because they've established so well.
Now can you match that then, Christine? I mean, we haven't described you. You would be sort of middling size, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You've got the energy to be one side of these forks, don't you?
Yeah, no, it does involve teamwork. But, they're really tough plants to divide. So, yeah, it is down to teamwork and a lot of strength too for the team. But even the root structure of the grasses is amazing when you see them come out of the ground. So a lot of those grasses then go back into stock for us we planted in the fields, but also they go into the container area. And we've actually in the last 2 years started putting them into peat free.
Right.
Just simply as a way of us starting to experiment with the peat free media. right. and learning from it. But yeah, they're looking absolutely fantastic now.
Yeah, well, when I was there, there were two or three tall ones with the seed heads just, or flower heads just forming. They were really attractive.
Yeah, they are lovely, and they look fantastic in the fields too.
Yeah. So what's the fashion at present? I mean, I remember seeing under Shade House quite a big lot of ferns. So I mean, is there a trend of any kind that you can detect?
I suppose ferns for us are something we've started growing more of to meet demands. I would say grasses are still fashionable and looking good. I think this time of year you're still wanting that little bit of colour coming through. So we've got dahlias at the moment as well. So yeah, it's a real good cross-section at the moment that's going through the dispatch.
Well, when you mentioned dahlias, you know, I have to mention David Howard.
Yes.
Was that named after your dad?
Yes. He found it before he went off on national service. I think he found it in the Bishop of Llandaff. And he gave it to my grandparents to look after and said, don't do anything with it. And when he came back from national service, they'd actually released it. And the rest is history. It's got an AGM, and it's amazing where it goes all around the world.
I mean, that's an amazing story. I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
So your dad found it when he was a teenager.
Yeah, and he had that eye for plants right back then.
Goodness.
And, it's amazing. It's quite lovely to see when I go round and I see the dahlia, and my dad found it.
And it's such a good variety. You know, there's not many dahlias that... how many years is that? Goodness, we're talking 60 years.
Well, he's 80 next month, so I don't know how old he would have been when he'd done national service.
I did national service too, and it ended at about your dad's era, I would think.
Yeah, he must have been on the last three. But it's a fantastic plant, though. The foliage is lovely. And the colour of the flower, and it's lovely.
Yeah, amazing. Now, talking of dahlias and thinking about shows, you do quite a lot of contract growing of container plants, container herbaceous, for Chelsea Show and for other shows.
Yes, it's been amazing. I think the first Chelsea Show Garden we supplied was Mrs. Knowles in the, I think it was late 80s. And I think that got my father, got the bug of growing for Chelsea. And I think it must have been from early on in the 90s, right through to even like in the last few years, we've had the privilege of growing for many Chelsea gardens, which has been an amazing experience to not only work with those designers, but also to get the skill and knowledge to be able to grow those plants. It's absolutely crazy at the time when you're moving plants in and out of the greenhouses and the polytunnels. I remember digitalis going in and out of the glass house like nearly twice a day sort of thing sometimes, and irises. But to be able to say I've done that and to be able to have the feel of the plants for how you get them up to the standard for Chelsea is... amazing honour to have, really.
Yeah, and it does take some skill. And I remember your dad telling me that the important thing was to get the container stock well rooted in undercover in February, just to get it moving that week or two earlier, particularly with things like foxgloves and lupins and aquilegia. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things we used a lot of bare root stock for Chelsea. And even like for Chelsea, we would be potting the irises August, September time for the following year. So it's having that good plant to start with to get you that Chelsea grade.
And then when you say iris, that's Iris germanica?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, because you grow a lot of those, don't you?
We do. I mean, we're at the moment on the nursery, we're a bit fed up of irises because they're everywhere. I think we grow about 40 varieties, which is well over 100,000 irises. So we've got them being propagated through division. We've got them being lifted for orders. We've got them being potted on our container area. So pretty much everywhere you go on the nursery at the moment, we've got irises. But, but come May, we'll all appreciate it when they're in flower. So.
You will indeed. Yeah. But you're actually selling those bare root, aren't you? They go out to garden centres and things, bare root, the Iris germanica.
Yes, it's amazing. The idea was, because they last well out of the ground, it was like a memento that garden centres or gardens could have as a souvenir that visitors could take away. It's amazing. We put them in a biodegradable bag with all points of sale, and we can put the customer's logo on, barcode, or make it like a little gift for people to take away. And they last out of the ground for at least 3 weeks, which is incredible. So the idea is you could put it in your suitcase, go off home, and when you get round to it, put it in the garden.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're right with it. The present trend to try and do away with plastic pots, you know, that's old hat to you. You're way ahead of the field.
Well, we keep trying. We're one of Suffolk's Gold Carbon Charter members, and we're one of Suffolk and Norfolk's Green 100 businesses. So the environment's always been a real big theme for us, trying to think about what we're doing, really. Like, we use shredded paper with packing our bare root plants. There's hardly any... I can't really think of hardly any plastic that's really used, like, in the bare root side of production. We recycle any pots that we do use. We wash our plug trays. So some of those plug trays are, like, 10 years old. So we're constantly thinking about where our waste is going, just to try and help.
Christine, it's an absolute joy to work with you. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed my visit 2 or 3 weeks ago, and just send my best wishes to you. Let's hope the weather is kind this autumn.
Lovely, thank you.
What's on? Well, it's the Cyclamen Society show on the 15th and 16th at Harlow Carr Gardens near Harrogate. And you know the hardy cyclamen, the kind that you see under trees, they'll put up with shade and pretty dry soil. They're fantastic at this time of the year. My brother said that, you know, you don't know where they are until at this time of the year. The flowers suddenly pop up out of the ground, and then, of course, leaves follow. And you've got the heterofolium types giving you a pretty good ground cover right the way through the winter before the spring or late winter, early spring coombe varieties come out. There are some really stunning varieties of cyclamen, so Harlow Carr Show should be well worth a visit. And then, of course, there's plant fairs. On the 16th, we've got a plant fair at Henbury Hall at Macclesfield and at Mapperton House and Gardens down in Beamster in Dorset. So still plenty going on, and, of course, the conditions to garden, absolutely perfect. You know, you can give the lawn a bit of a rake and get some autumn lawn dressing on. You can sow lawn seed. Perfect time to plant herbaceous and stuff. Get the garden tidied up before the clocks alter. Thanks again to Westland Horticulture, sponsors of this podcast. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.